Good day, everybody. How's everybody on this sunshiny day in Cleveland? Gotta love it, right? Oh, I think it's good for everybody. I mean, not specifically him. I think it gives you a chance to kind of watch everybody else work, so to speak, and, you know, just kind of drain where, you know, you're not up all the time. So, but I would think that it was good for everybody.
A few of Brent's teammates were saying in the last few weeks he's become a little more vocal, outspoken, kind of, you know, getting the huddle together. Have you seen it as a natural progression with him?
I think it really is a natural progression, and it's not something that, you know, I don't care if you're Andrew Luck or whoever, you don't come in and jump in and start, you know, screaming and pointing and all. Not that he started to do that, but I just think it takes you a little while to evolve where your voice means something besides just being the play caller.
How is he handling criticism that he's getting, maybe not from you guys, but from outside?
From you guys.
Okay. From, yeah.
Who else?
Okay, and like Joe Banner saying that, well, we're going to have to watch him all of these next seven games to decide if he's our quarterback for next year. How's he handling that?
Yeah, I mean, overtly, I don't see anything, but that's an important facet of being a quarterback, never letting them see a sweat. So I don't think he's internalized any of that kind of talk. I mean, for that matter, I don't know if he's aware of it, you know. But, you know, he's been a professional athlete before. So, you know, as I say, it can't be any worse than scrutinizing you over the fact you gave up three dingers, you know, in a game or something like that, you know.
But he was a play Class A baseball. That's certainly the scrutiny there publicly wasn't what it is with an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. But it's your ball that they're hitting over the fence, you know. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, there's some ownership to that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of personal, I would think, not having ever been a pitcher, but I would think, you know. Yeah, I mean, it goes through a lot of staff discussions, which we had plenty in our week off. You know, I just think we had communication issues, whether it be a little indecision or whether I wasn't speaking clearly or Pat wasn't speaking clearly or we were caught on the last play, which you can do sometimes. Sometimes you're irritated about what happened on the last play or what happened officiating wise. We just talked about the tempo with which it's got to get in, at what point it's got to get in, and how we're going about doing that, who's talking on the line and when they're talking on the line, those kind of things.
Right. Do you feel like, you know, that's been, I mean, it was obvious in the last game that it was a little bit hard on Brandon. I mean, has that been an ongoing thing that's...
I don't think it's been an ongoing thing. I feel like it kind of reared its ugly head here recently, and hopefully we don't have to go through that again. With two different people, with Coach Reed and myself, you know, you bounce things back and forth. It's not healthy or productive to have four or five people chiming in, you know, because that can be chaotic, you know. But yeah, with two different people. Similar to that. You know, somebody's got to be the guy that actually wags it into the quarterback or says it into the quarterback. Somebody's got to be the person that's pulling it off the card. I talk all the time about most of that leg work, heavy lifting goes on during the week, and you're kind of programmed into two or three or four choices with every segment that you go to, whether you're talking about from the plus five to the goal line, or you're talking about the big red zone, or you're talking about backed up or 2 minute. I mean, all those things are pretty much laid out. That's what those big sandwich board cards are about. You know, you have your different situations on there.
Brad said he's surprised he hasn't been blitzed
I'm gonna knock right there, you know. Yeah, I don't think Rob's afraid to really blitz anybody, although just not knowing that much about Rob and having not played his defenses very often, I think we probably, last time I played him was when, with Favre's first game. I don't think he's blitzing anywhere near maybe what I would have have envisioned. You know, when you say Rob Ryan and his defense, and so at least that's the evidence that I see laid out in the games they've played so far. You know, are they playing good defense? Yeah, they're playing a lot of man-to-man. Absolutely. Will they blitz you occasionally? Yeah, but I just don't see it as a steady da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, one after another after another after another. Does he have the capability? I'm sure he does. Just prefer he didn't bring it out of the can this week. Well, that's a good point, and nothing good in this league happens holding on to the football, and I think Brandon kind of gets that. He's not back there trying to hatch it or anything like that. That's a bad deal, you know, when you hold on to the ball. So you always want to live to play another day.
Brad, there's been talk this week, you know, Pat and Brandon both, you know, about, you know, cutting down the interceptions and at the same time trying to be aggressive. How tough is that for that quarterback to grasp? How tough is that for you to coach to where that imaginary line is that you can push to be aggressive and at the same time you don't get careless with the ball? It seems like it would be pretty nebulous, pretty difficult.
I mean, you're right on. It's a very delicate balance. You don't want a guy to get you've heard me say before, I always want a guy to keep shooting. And do you want him to keep shooting and missing, shooting and missing, shooting and missing? No, you don't want that. You don't want to keep shooting and be thrown to them either, but you don't want somebody that goes into a check down mode or you can't get those shots up the field that we're looking for. And, you know, some guys get that. Some guys may go to that check down mode for a couple plays after they get a scar or something like that. And some guys are, you know, got the guts of a burglar, you know, and that's kind of the thing that you're looking for, you know, those guys that are wired that way, which I feel like Brandon is. He throws it with merit, and he doesn't ever get too far down, or, you know, he's not looking down the field.
Brad, one or two things would you like to see Brandon improve on or change over the last seven games?
One or two things, you know. More touchdowns, less interceptions. I think the consistency to move the ball around to all the different spots that are available to him. And I'm seeing signs of that, you know, getting to a third read, a fourth read. I'm seeing signs of that, although I've seen it before, but I've seen it more regularly. At least right now.
Brad, with Mo Claiborne, obviously a big talent. They come out in the draft, but I think teams are completing like 61% of the passes on him or something. How do you balance, you know, targeting a guy who has that big play capability but is also struggling to learn and react in the NFL?
Well, I think you got to challenge him. But we want to challenge both their corners and their nickel guy. So the one thing is your tape is your resume. So everybody looks at that, whether it be him or Carr or Skandrick in the slot, and you kind of know what their pluses and minuses are. And if you can attack in a certain way and you think it's got a high probability success, you kind of have a responsibility to do that and see if that's cleaned up last week from the six penalties, you know. Otherwise, I think a couple years ago, Quentin Jammer was the most penalized guy in the NFL at the cornerback position. Otherwise, you got to continue to go at him and see, you know, if he can clean it up. He does have tremendous abilities and skills and a big play possibility, but, you know, I wouldn't invoke the Deion rule that we used to have at Philadelphia. Don't do it. Don't go over there because, you know, he's baiting you and the result's not going to be good.
Your 2009 playoff game against Dallas, what do you remember about that game?
we had everything go our way. They were, you know, they had beaten people throughout the end of their season, including New Orleans, I think, at the end of their season, and had a great first-round playoff win and seemingly were the hot team and unstoppable. And we had a bye, so we were just sitting back listening to all that yammer. And it was just right. We were ready and we were fresh, and everything went the right direction.
Your trophy case somewhere, if you could put a single game on in your trophy case.
It was a pretty good one, you know, pretty good one.
In the red zone, I think five times in that game, and never threw it into the end zone. He said there weren't any receivers open. Is that just strictly on the receivers to get open, or do you need to kind of open up the playbook a little more to maybe use plays that would allow maybe guys to use their size or fade routes or whatever it might be to create better possibilities down there?
Yeah, and I think sometimes you get and you say, well, this guy's a red zone receiver and we need to utilize fade routes. The easy thing to say, not everybody's going to give you a fade route because not everybody's playing bump press man-to-man. So I know you're looking for an example to go to. Typically, you set your red zone up to go touchdown to check down. So you're looking for a shot up the field. You're looking for a check down. You want to stay ahead of the down and distance when you're in the red zone. Most people are playing red zone defense now from about the 15 to the goal line as opposed to the 20, which people like to say red zone. We see most of their similarities occur now right around the 15-yard line. It's changed by about 5 yards probably since I started in 99. You know, people are playing their base defense out there around the 20. But can we do a better job of giving them that touchdown to check down? Yeah, I'd say that. You know, when you go five times in there and you don't have anything to show for it, you know, obviously, you know, I look back at me and what we're doing.
Great. I need to call Mitchell Schwartz the smartest guy on offense yesterday. Does that sound about right to you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say he's a savant or anything like that, you know. He's a smart guy.
I mean, it seems like he's had a pretty good start to his career. I've noticed him a bunch on Sundays. That he was going to be okay?
Oh, you know what? He's never had big eyes any step of the way. You know, maybe in that Philadelphia game when he really felt, Trent Cole or one of those guys line up on him and rush, and he went, "Oh, this is a little different tempo than training camp." Maybe right there, but I think he's really kind of acclimated, you know, and that's you know, the mark of a good player, but a smart player too. You know, he's generally not going to get beat by the same thing twice.
Yeah, how big a challenge would it be for him and Joe or whoever else has to try to block?
Well, it's another. I mean, we talk about Ware all the time, and Ware is a tremendous player, but Spencer in his own right is unbelievably quick-handed and always has been. That's the one thing. He can be standing on the other side of you just like that. So I think both those guys will be a challenge, and he'll see both of those guys from time to time throughout the game.
Two more questions, guys.
How much more do you need to see Brandon Weeden to make
an educated guess on whether he's the long-term answer at quarterback?
Probably the rest of the season. Yeah, I just want to see. I want to see him grow here in the second half of the season, you know, in the last seven games, and play through this Cleveland Pittsburgh weather, you know. I want to see all that. I want to see the whole body work, you know, before I venture an opinion on where he's at.
Put his guess out the day after it was announced that he's retiring at the end of the year. But Mike said, Mike's gave a pretty strong indication that he thinks now that. The team has found a quarterback. I mean, do you have an inkling along those lines?
Well, I mean, he's their starter, and he's given a pretty good representation of himself, I think, here. Can he improve? He'd be the first to tell you that, yeah. But I think he's doing okay for a first-year signal caller in this league. Okay?
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.